For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome to the WWE Raw Monday Night Post Show that I've started to do here for audio listeners. The first one was last week. This is now the second one. It is June 10th, and we've got, honestly, a really good Raw to talk about here tonight. I thought that this was one of the strongest Monday Night Raws that we've had in a while, and I think that the reason for that was there's an interesting program that I'm feeling pretty excited about. It's the Liv Morgan Dominic Mysterio stuff, which I spoke about in depth a whole lot last week. But I also really enjoyed the match that they did with Bron Breakker and Ilya Dragunov. I thought that was really good. I love the show closer with Drew McIntyre and Finn Balor. There's been the write-off of Ricochet. We have impending storyline now with Lyra Valkyra and Io Shirai, and both of them are coming with a set of friends, of course, Damage Control. And for Lyra Valkyra, it's Kaden and Katana. And so there's kind of just a lot happening on the show that really made it feel like a noteworthy overall episode of Raw. So let's go ahead and dive right in. I want to start off with the big thing. And the big thing is really the fact that we kind of got to see possibly Ricochet get ridden off of Monday Night Raw. So I spoke a lot about Ricochet the day that the PW Insider news report came out, where it had said that he had basically said that after his contract with WWE was up, that he was going to be exiting the company. And now we were wondering, okay, are they going to write him off the show? And if they do, that's going to be a huge indication as to where they're at with Ricochet's contract and whether or not he's choosing to re-sign with WWE, or if he's willing to take the risk and jump and go to AEW. So I think for the most part, everybody who's been following the story and has got a little bit of a background on Ricochet, I think for the most part, everyone is sort of feeling like he definitely is going to AEW. And following what we saw here tonight, basically he was attacked by Bron Breakker. He was tossed. They did a really cool outside the stadium shot, which I always like when they do stuff like this, but Bron Breakker tossed Ricochet into one of the trucks. And then on top of that, he then freaking puts him through the windshield of a car. And he is taken to the hospital. And during all of this, they do a camera shot of Samantha Irving. She's watching it. She's in awe. She's terrified. She's, you know, that's her man. And she's watching him be stretchered into an ambulance. So she goes back there and she's crying and she's consoling him. She's crying on his stomach. I mean, she did so freaking well selling this whole entire story. It really did feel like we were not going to be seeing Ricochet for quite some time. But at the same time, if he were to come back and re-sign with WWE, okay, well, there you go. You have a story already, and it is him trying to get his revenge on Bron Breakker. So they really worked it out very nicely where if you don't see him, you don't see him, and you know why. And if you do see him come back, well, then we have a story. So I thought that the write-off of Ricochet felt very, very strong. And now it's just a matter of, okay, when are we going to see him pop up in AEW? And what new chapter of Ricochet are we going to be seeing? I know a lot of people have now been wondering what this means for Samantha Irving. I do not think that Samantha Irving should leave WWE. And the reason I say this is because I do think that WWE has really promoted her very nicely and strong. You have no idea how many times I go on social media, on Instagram or on Twitter, and I see videos of Samantha reacting to whatever, God, The Rock, anything. She's always reacting to something. And I don't remember the last time a ring announcer got this much attention. And she gets so much attention because she's so good at her job. And she's a very beautiful woman, but she's so good at her job. I have said this a zillion times, but the way that she announces Roman Reigns is literally my favorite ring announcement like ever, because she just does such a good job of making Roman Reigns truly feel like larger than life. And so it's little things like that that she does, and how WWE presents her like a star, not just a ring announcer that can be tossed away and replaced any minute. No, she doesn't feel replaceable. And that's a little bit of my issue with a lot of the broadcasting talent on WWE, or just broadcasting talent in general, across the board, is that there are certain people that you just know are irreplaceable. But for the most part, a lot of the broadcasting talent does feel very, very replaceable. And you see this happen so much, where you see them use a ring announcer on Raw or on SmackDown, and excuse me, let me rephrase that. They use a backstage interviewer on Raw or SmackDown. And then after a couple of months or whatever, a year, all of a sudden they're replaced by somebody else. And it was like that other person wasn't even there. And so I've always seen like backstage interviewers be very replaceable. Commentary, it's a little bit harder to be replaceable on commentary. But again, they do that to a lot of people. You'll see, God, I mean, how many people haven't we seen come in and out of that chair on Monday Night Raw? Like, even just in the last couple of years with Kevin Patrick, Jimmy Smith. I mean, there's been so many freaking changes. But what I'm saying is that a lot of people feel replaceable. And Samantha Irving does not feel that way. If anything, God, I would hate to be the person to try and follow in her shoes as a ring announcer. And I think WWE realizes that, and that's why she gets the treatment that she does on the show. And so again, that's why I wouldn't say that Samantha Irving should necessarily leave WWE, because she's in a good spot. Honestly, she really is in a good spot. And I think that if she really wants to cement her legacy as, you know, one of the greatest ring announcers, then she has to do so by staying with the company for a couple more years for sure. So it could be like the Samantha Irving voice era. So that's basically what went down today on Raw with Ricochet. He got written out, attacked by Bron Breakker, put through a windshield, and that's that. So that was really like the big thing. And now we're just going to have to wait and see. So from there, I kind of want to go ahead and get into the, I might as well get into the Liv Morgan, Dominic Mysterio stuff. Guys, this is so trashy, but in the best way. It's scandalous. If you're into drama, if you're into them sort of pushing the line a little bit and getting a little inappropriate. I mean, this is no longer feeling PG. I don't even know what rating system we're in now. This is feeling definitely PG-13 for sure. For sure PG-13. Rated R would still have to be like a lot more. We would have to see like a live sex celebration or something. But this is definitely feeling PG-13, maybe even a little bit more than that. God, I don't even know what PG-13 would entail anymore. I feel like every show that I watch now is so freaking extreme. If you're watching anything on Netflix or HBO, I mean, you're seeing naked people all the freaking time on those shows. So I feel like at this point, everything is like beyond rated R. I don't even know what the next rating is. I have no idea. Anyways, I'm done talking about ratings. So the point that I'm trying to get at is that Liv Morgan and Dominic Mysterio are definitely towing that line. And today it happened where she gives them her hotel room key, first and foremost, lucky man. And Dominic is looking very nervous. Like, you can tell his instincts, his manly urges. He wants to cave in. He wants to have Liv Morgan, but he is loyal to Rhea Ripley. As of right now, he's still loyal to Rhea Ripley. So he's kind of just sitting back there pondering what to do about this hotel room key. And then eventually the room key disappears once the members of the Judgment Day find out. And we never really find out who actually took the room key, but I think it like reappeared at the end. But it was just a matter of like, oh, who actually took it though? My money is on Carlito, because the second Carlito found out about it, his reaction was, "That's cool." And so it made me think that maybe Carlito was the one that tried swiping that room key. Anyways, so that's not even like the rated R portion of all of this. The more rated R portion of this was, we had a six-man match, which was very fun, by the way. It was Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee, Braun Strowman versus Carlito, JD McDonagh, and Finn Balor. And during this match, there's a moment where Liv Morgan gets thrown off of the ring apron, and somehow she just lands right on Dominic Mysterio, spread eagle, has her legs wrapped around him, full on, can I say this on a podcast? Cowgirl position. She is super cowgirl position here. Oh, man. And she stays there for a while, and already I'm getting nervous. I'm like, oh, she's sitting there for a while. What's going to happen now? And just when I thought I couldn't get any more awkward watching this, she starts to straddle him. I'm not even kidding you. She has some waist movement in there. It's happening. And I'm thinking, oh my God. I don't even know what the proper reaction is, but they are definitely having fun with the story. I can tell that Liv Morgan's got a lot of freaking balls, man. She goes in and she's getting the job done. They want to get this story over. And when you toe the line like that, it's gonna work. It's gonna work, because we've heard this a million times, sex sells. And seeing that, seeing Liv Morgan press Dominic Mysterio's buttons, I mean, the engagement this is getting is pretty hilarious, because people like to joke. People like to have fun with it. And so it's working, and it's keeping you intrigued, because you're wondering, how far is this going to go? And right now, my prediction is, of course, that Dominic Mysterio is going to betray Rhea Ripley, and he's going to give in to the evil seductress Liv Morgan. And Liv Morgan, of course, is going to be using him this entire time. She's going to basically reward him with fake love and make him happy. And then we're all going to know what we've known from the very beginning, was that she stole Dominic Mysterio just to get back at Rhea Ripley. But what I do hope comes of this, though, is that if Dominic Mysterio falls truly, madly, deeply in love with Liv Morgan, and then she breaks and stomps his little heart, I have a feeling this could be the thing that turns Dominic Mysterio babyface. And Dominic Mysterio gets some of the craziest boos out there, which it would kind of suck not to boo him anymore. But I do think if anything can turn Dominic Mysterio babyface, it's him getting his heart stomped on by Liv Morgan and being used like shit just so that Liv Morgan can get her revenge on Rhea Ripley. And he's just a piece of her chess game. He's just a pawn in her game. And so that's what I'm thinking is eventually going to happen with this story. But either way, that's what we got here on Monday Night Raw tonight. So now, since we are on this picture with the Judgment Day, I might as well get into the Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre stuff. They kicked off Monday Night Raw, and I still have not really been feeling this reign for Damian Priest. I've said my prediction before on Clash at the Castle. I am predicting Damian Priest to retain, only with CM Punk costing Drew McIntyre the match. And I'm even more convinced now that this is happening, because in the opening segment, they made a match, or rather they added a stakes to the match between Finn Balor and Drew McIntyre that took place later in the evening. And basically it was that, hey, if Drew McIntyre won, that meant that Judgment Day would be banned from ringside. And so a fun main event, a really fun main event. Drew McIntyre wins with the Claymore. And so now Judgment Day is going to be banned from ringside. But put an emphasis on Judgment Day being banned from ringside. This does not mean that CM Punk's not banned from ringside. No, he can definitely show up. So I think that this is them kind of telling us, hey, there probably is, like, you probably are going to be seeing CM Punk in this match. So that's what I'm hoping for. That's how I'm feeling heading into the actual show. All right, so that was pretty much what we kind of got with Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre, and then the match with Finn Balor. The other thing that I want to get into right away is the Io Sky Lyra Valkyra stuff, because this is pretty exciting. I'm really digging this. You guys know me. I'm a big Lyra Valkyra fan, and I had previously thought that she was going to link up with Becky Lynch, and while they did have a couple moments backstage, Becky Lynch is not currently with WWE, and I don't know when she's going to be back, but she's clearly not going to be back in enough time to have Lyra's back when she's being attacked by Damage Control. So here's what went down. Lyra wrestled Io Sky in this match that was very, very fun. Like, they have such a good chemistry. They have such a good chemistry, and I was so glad that they ran this match back, because this was a match that we saw during the tournament for the Queen of the Ring. And so Io and her revisit this. The first match was won by Lyra Valkyra, obviously, and she made it all the way to the finals, losing to Nia Jax. But Io Sky, she ended up getting the victory in this match here, but she did so with a crucifix pin, and there was a moment, like, several times where it felt like Lyra was going to get the win, but Damage Control gets involved and they sort of ruined that for her. But this was so much fun. I mean, she gets her with the pendulum swing again, which I really love when she does that to her. And at one point, we see Io go for a moonsault, but Lyra gets her knees up. She hits a tornado DDT, and that's when you thought she almost had it again. But no, Io does eventually get the win here. And what I liked about this is that now we're sort of tied 1-1. One girl has won, the other girl has won. And now you know that this is going to continue even further. And this was solidified when Io decided to go batshit crazy, and she just starts attacking Lyra to the point where her own teammates, Damage Control, go in there and kind of pull her back a little bit. But it's looking like she's obviously outnumbered regardless. It's 3-1. And so all of a sudden you're thinking, damn, who's going to come out and help out Lyra? Again, Becky Lynch is not there. So who is going to help her out? Well, lo and behold, Kayden and Katana. Yeah, you guys remember Kayden and Katana? They finally came out. So they come out and they end up having Lyra's back. And I love this because, again, these are two girls that have been on the main roster but didn't necessarily have anything really going for them on the show. They're a cool tag team, but the character work has never really been there for them. They haven't been part of a big story. A lot of the other tag teams are sort of going a little bit further than they are. So this was a perfect spot to put them in. And so now you have so many different things that you can do here. And I really like this story. I'm really liking, again, the chemistry that Lyra and Io have, and I'm liking where they can go with this. And I feel like you definitely need to have more stories for the women, and this is going to be an additional story for the women. So this was something that I definitely thought was a huge win. All right, so I'm trying to make sure what else I want to talk about from Raw. The other thing was we got a Ludwig Kaiser promo, and this was Ludwig just basically putting himself over, talking about how he wants to be the top guy on the roster. And I don't know why, but he reminds me of the human form of Megamind. Do you guys remember Megamind? The little blue guy? The little blue guy with the big head, and he's like this evil mad scientist, Megamind? Yeah, that Megamind. Oh, man, I love that movie. Anyways, I love Megamind. But for some reason, Ludwig Kaiser reminds me of him. Like, if Megamind became human, I feel like it would be Ludwig Kaiser. I think it's in the eyebrows, guys. Google the images. Google them side by side. It's in the eyebrows. Anyways, He's looking like he wants to enter into the Money in the Bank, and the qualifying matches do start next Monday. So there you go. That's the Ludwig Kaiser stuff that we got on the show. And I really do think, by the way, that he really has what it takes to be a top guy on this show. Legitimately do think he could be a top guy. The other thing that we got that we need to get into is the Sami Zayn, Chad Gable stuff. And this is basically them again. I mean, we are still not going to get Otis turning on Chad Gable until Clash at the Castle. That's when I firmly believe it's going to happen. But basically what we saw here tonight is that there's an understanding that Otis now realizes Chad Gable legitimately is the problem. And he told Sami Zayn that the reasons why he has stuck around with Chad Gable is because Chad Gable has always been there for him, even when he lost a lot of things in his life, including his peach. And so we kind of got an understanding as to why Otis is still with Chad Gable. But the part that I really liked, though, was that Sami Zayn sort of gave this pep talk to Otis, where he's telling Otis that he could be a lot more, that he just needs to have more confidence in himself, and that he could really be something special. And I really liked that. I thought that was a very sort of sweet moment, a nice bonding moment between Sami Zayn and Otis. And so this was really good. I do like the way that they have really been layering this whole story. But that's sort of the big thing to get into in regards to that. Not so much more to add. We did see Sami Zayn defeat Otis as well. But anyways, the other thing that we had here was Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler. They defeated Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. I thought this match was too quick. Didn't even really give me much to say. But we are going to be seeing that match at Clash at the Castle, the triple threat for the women's title, with Bianca and Jay defending against Alba, Isla, Zoe, and Shayna. Again, a very, very quick match. Not too much to add about that. And then we had Awesome Truth, R-Truth, and The Miz defeat the Authors of Pain. Guys, I am not a fan of what they're doing with Authors of Pain or The Final Testament. I have not been a fan for months now, and they still haven't persuaded me or helped me, or they haven't persuaded me at all. And Awesome Truth, I think, are long overdue in terms of their run as WWE World Tag Team Champions has long expired. I think they need to wrap this up, because I am constantly forgetting that they are even tag team champions. And right now, the men's tag team division could definitely use some new champions. I thought cool them getting their WrestleMania moment. Awesome. Everybody, you know, seeing someone get the WrestleMania moment is always very nice, but I didn't really expect this to really go anywhere. I feel like I saw what it was from the very beginning, which was just nothing that they were honestly going to put some real emphasis on, because they're just a comedy act and that's how they're seen. And that's all they do now. It's just these quick little haha moments. And some of them are funny and some of them really aren't that funny. It's just that R-Truth says things in a funny way. So anyways, they need to lose the drop. They need to drop the titles. We need some new tag team champions, and I'm tired of forgetting who the tag team champions are on the show. So with that being said, that is pretty much what we got on today's episode of Monday Night Raw. And next week is when I think we're going to finally going to be seeing the Wyatt Six. I think that's when they're finally going to be coming out. For weeks now, they have sort of been teasing that June 17th is the show. So keep an eye out for that. We'll talk about that next week. But that, my friends, was this mini Raw review. Again, I'm doing these as a bonus for the audio listeners. If you guys enjoyed them, please tweet me and I will keep doing them. I got some tweets last week about it, so thank you so much to those that tweeted. Please continue to let me know what you guys think about these mini Raw reviews. And other than that, I am leaving tomorrow to Scotland, so you guys should be seeing Clash at the Castle content coming up here on the channel. I have also dropped so many interviews, actually, right during Raw. I did an interview with Jordynne Grace. And that interview is up right now on the podcast feed, also on the YouTube channel. And it's a very fun interview. We talk about everything that's been happening with her the last couple of weeks. She talks about her match with Roxanne Perez at NXT Battleground. It is so good. She's just such a great interview. She's one of those people that she really shows a lot of her personality and a lot of who she is when you're talking to her. So I feel like if you want to know what Jordynne Grace is like outside of the character, outside of the wrestler, I feel like you'll definitely get that in the interview. And then, of course, I also dropped an interview with Roxanne Perez and Bianca Belair. All of these have been back to back to back. So give them some love, guys. And if you don't see any podcasts coming up for the next few days, probably until Clash at the Castle, again, it's because I am MIA in Scotland, but that does not mean you won't be seeing content going up on the YouTube channel. So make sure you guys check those out. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. Love you all. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, everyone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.